Hello, St. John, and welcome to the Post-Sermon Podcast. This is Vicar Tim, and with me is, well, it's just me this week. So I will be doing the podcast solo, and I'll be talking about my sermon from this past Sunday. So my prayer for you is that you would find my talk about my sermon to be helpful and help you grow and to understand what it was that was preached on this past Sunday. So my text for this sermon was John 10, verses 11 through 16. And this text is part of Jesus' Good Shepherd Discourse, where he's talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees have just been going after Jesus for healing the man born blind, and Jesus responds to them with this whole discourse about how he is the good shepherd, how he cares for his sheep. And so the portion of the reading that we read focuses on the idea that Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. This is in contrast to the hired hands who do not care for the sheep, who run away at the sign of danger. And then we get the specifically verse 14, which is what I really focused in on in this sermon, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." So it was this particular line of Jesus's that really stood out to me this week and that I wanted to preach on. I wanted to focus in on this idea of Jesus knowing his own. And as a result of that, what does it then mean that his own, us, the church, know me, know Jesus? And so part of the way to help us think about that idea in the sermon was to kind of think about, well, where are ways that maybe this saying, "I know my own and my own know me," what ways does it not really apply, or what are ways that it might be misused? And so I start out with this story of somebody reading this text about the Good Shepherd and coming across the words, "I know my own and my own know me," and stopping, looking up from their Bible and thinking about, well, what does that mean? And coming to the conclusion that this text could either be really comforting, but also could be really terrifying on the idea that, yeah, Jesus knows us, he knows his own, but he also knows everything that we're doing. He knows all the ways that we may have sinned, all of the things that we've done wrong. And that could be a scary thing. And this little story is even just a little bit of how I initially approached the text. And it wasn't really the right way to approach it. And in the course of my sermon preparation, I came to realize how I was kind of looking at the text not fully in the way that the entire text is given to us. And so I laid out this guy reading the text in a wrong way. And he reads it wrongly because he comes to this part of the text that he doesn't understand. And he stops and he looks up from his Bible. And I've heard it said that when you come across something in the Bible that brings up a question or you're not sure about, and you look up from the Bible, you should immediately look back down again. Look back at the Bible. See what's coming next. What does the rest of the text say? And so in this example, you know, he reads, "I know my own and my own know me." But then in verse 15, Jesus says, "Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." What Jesus is doing is he's comparing his relationship with us to his relationship with the Father. And if you think about that for a moment, Jesus is God. The Father is God. Jesus' relationship with the Father is perfect in every respect, that Jesus is wholly and completely obedient to the Father, that he knows his Father's will. And the Father knows Jesus, and the Father knows everything about Jesus. Jesus is his only begotten Son. And so, if you compare that relationship between Jesus and his Father to the relationship between Jesus and us, that's not a relationship in which we are full of terror or fear that Jesus knows our sins, but rather it's an image of comfort that Jesus knows us just as he knows his own Father in heaven. And so this relationship is a perfect relationship. And our relationship with Jesus is done in this way because Jesus has sacrificed himself for us, that he laid down his life for the sheep, that he died on the cross, he rose from the dead, because he truly loves us and cares for us. And he truly loves us and cares for us as his own. So the other part of this verse, my own know me, I started off kind of talking about that through the image of people seeing the church and thinking, well, do they really know Jesus? I mean, the world sees all of the bad things that happen in the church. Every element of the fact that everyone in the church is still a sinful human being. They see all of that. They see arguing, fighting, abuses, and people wonder, do you really know Jesus? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been on the internet and I've seen someone quote Jesus back at Christians because they don't think we're being Christ-like enough, or thinking, oh, do you really know Jesus? Well, Jesus said you need to be doing this, and well, we don't see you doing that. And in a sense, that is a valid concern for people. But we know Jesus only through Jesus, only through what he has done for us. And so what I was laying out for us was ways that we do know Jesus. And it can be done in a variety of forms, not just the kind of almost brief different images or examples that I gave in the sermon, but even those were intended to show that it's we show how we know Jesus all the way from beginning of life. I mean, even in baptism, that's where it begins. That's where our knowing Jesus begins, is in baptism, the Holy Spirit coming upon us, giving us faith. Jesus making us his own. And even at a young age, I mean, young children can believe, they can know Jesus. I gave the image of a small child folding their hands during the Lord's Prayer, even though they don't even know the words yet. They can't even read them yet. So it was an kind of funny little story from my childhood was that one of my old churches, during the Lord's Prayer, it would ring the church bell during part of it. And when my family, we went to visit another church, I was probably 3 at the time. And during the Lord's Prayer, they didn't ring the bell. And I commented to my mom, hey, Mom, they didn't ring the bell today. And my mom was kind of surprised that I knew that the Lord's Prayer was happening. I couldn't say the words yet. I didn't know the words enough, but I knew enough to know that the church bells were supposed to be ringing, because that's what we had done, and that told me that was the Lord's Prayer going on. And of course, knowing Jesus, it goes all the way up to death. So I gave the example of someone with dementia who they're still baptized into the name of Christ. They can still hear the words of Jesus, still receive the sacrament. They still have that saving faith. And so knowing Jesus, it it takes place through the things that Jesus has given to us, through his word, through prayer, that he's promised to hear our prayers, through the sacraments, even through the knowing the image of the good shepherd that Jesus has given to us. So the sermon was preached on what is usually known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Good Shepherd Sunday happens every year in the church year. In the one-year lectionary, it happens on the third Sunday in Easter. And in the three-year lectionary, it happens on the fourth Sunday. And partially it's intended as a reminder that Jesus is in charge of the church, in charge of his flock, that he sacrificed himself, died on the cross, that now he's risen from the dead, and he cares for his people like the shepherd cares for his sheep. And so, again, this image comes up every year. In the one-year lectionary, it's always John 10 verses 11 through 16, kind of the middle part of this Good Shepherd discourse. If we were in the three-year lectionary, each year is a different section of John 10. And of course, there's always going to be a number of other readings from other parts of the Bible that will incorporate in the shepherd imagery. The one year you get Ezekiel 34, which we heard on Sunday, where God is speaking out against all the false shepherds who are misleading his flock. And then we got a reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, where Jesus is the shepherd and overseer of us. And it reminds us that Jesus is still in charge of his flock. And kind of with part of that idea is that we had a question for the podcast, and the question was this: when a flock of sheep becomes mixed with another, as when a Christian lives in a secular world, how is the flock called back to the shepherd? Now, I'll admit, I don't know a ton about sheep, so I am relying a little bit upon Google here, but Google told me, and there was a link to a scientific paper, so I'm going to trust them here, that sheep, while they don't have the greatest cognitive ability, are able to recognize the voice of their shepherd. Over time, they come to recognize that voice, even recognize that face, from my understanding. And so that part of the image would be that the sheep that are Jesus's, even as we're mixed around in this world full of people who don't know Jesus, the sheep still will hear Jesus' voice and know it and return to it. And I think that even a way to kind of think about the image would be that, well, where does the flock gather together around Christ? Where does the flock all come together? And the answer is that the flock all comes together in church on Sunday. That in church, we're all gathered together as one flock in the name of Jesus, with Jesus as our shepherd. And it's there in church that we receive all of the great gifts that Jesus has promised to give to us. Word, sacrament, forgiveness of sins. It's where Jesus feeds his flock every single Sunday. And that's just an incredible thing. It's why we keep coming back to church, to be part of that community, to be gathered together as the flock with Jesus. All right, well, that concludes the post-sermon podcast for this week. Thank you, everyone, for listening as I talked about my sermon for this past Sunday. As always, if you want to listen to the sermon or listen to it again, the link is in the show notes and can be found on our website at stjohndublin.org. If you have any questions for post-sermon podcast, you can email us at podcast@stjohndublin.org. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and God's blessings on your week. Bye.